Please fold your hands, repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Narama Chaiva Narotamam Devi Sarasvati Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Thank you very much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janamadasya Yato Anvayat Itaratashchartheshu Bhigyasvarat Tene Brahmaridaya Adikavaye Muyanti Yat Surayaha Tejo Varimridang Yatha Vinimayo Yatra Tri Sargo Mrisha Thamna Sena Sada Nirastakukam Satyam Param Dimahi. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 29, Talks Between Narada and King Prachina Bhari, Text 59. Iti Veda Vidam Vadha Shruyate Tatra Tatra Karma Yat Kriyate Proktam Paroksham Na Prakashate Iti Veda Vidam Vada Shruyate Tatra Tatra Karma Yat Kriyate Proktam Paroksham Na Prakashate Iti Veda Vidam Vada Shruyate tatra tatraha Karma yat kriyate proktam Paroksham na prakashate Iti Thus Veda Vidam Of persons who know the Vedic conclusions, Vada, the thesis, Shruyate, is heard, Tatra Tatra, here and there, Ha, certainly, Karma, the activity, Yat, what, Kriyate, is performed, Proktam, as it was said, Paroksham, unknown, Na Prakashate, is not directly manifested. Translation: the expert knowers of the Vedic conclusions say that one enjoys or suffers the results of his past activities, but practically it is seen that the body that performed the work in the last birth is already lost. So how is it possible to enjoy or suffer the reactions of that work in a different body? Please repeat. The expert knowers of the Vedic conclusions say that one enjoys or suffers the results of his past activities. But practically it is seen that the body that performed the work in the last birth is already lost. So how is it possible to enjoy or suffer the reactions of that work in a different body? Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Atheists want evidence for the resultant actions of past activities. Therefore they ask, where is the proof that I am suffering and enjoying the resultant actions of past karma? They have no idea how the subtle body carries the results of the present body's actions down to the next gross body. The present body may be finished grossly, but the subtle body is not finished. It carries the soul to the next body. Actually, the gross body is dependent on the subtle body. Therefore, the next gross body must suffer and enjoy according to the subtle body. The soul is carried by the subtle body continuously until liberated from gross material bondage. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unamili tangyana tasmai shri gurave namaha namam vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namane namaste saraswate deve gauravani pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti Veda Vidang Vadha Shruyate Tatra Tatra Karma Yat Kriyate Proktam Paroksham Na Prakashyate. The expert knows of the Vedic conclusions say that one enjoys or suffers the results of his past activities. But practically it is seen that the body that performed the work in the last birth is already lost. So how is it possible to enjoy or suffer the reactions of that work in a different body? A criminal is brought before the judge to account for his crimes. And if he says, but I was wearing a t-shirt and jeans at that time. Now I'm not wearing that t-shirt or that jeans. Why are you punishing me? So Srila Prabhupada very aptly explains that it's not the body that's being punished, the gross body. The same subtle body was there in the last life as it is present in this life. And that same subtle body continues throughout all of one's births and rebirths in this material world until he is liberated. That's the very nice, perfect explanation. Nobody will question that. Nobody will support the criminal's argument about his t-shirt and jeans. No sane person. because they know Shri Shri Gaur Nitai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. Because they know that the performer of the crime, whatever clothes he was wearing, is now present before the judge. This is the same with how the laws of karma work. We may have had all kinds of bodies, gross bodies in between, but it is the same individual who is being punished. It is not a different individual, because it is the same subtle body, mind, intelligence, and his ego, his identity. They do not die like the body, gross body dies. They inhabit different bodies, and whatever activities they perform, that subtle body becomes subject to the reactions at some later point in time. Of course, we can understand the t-shirt and the jeans very quickly, but even we sometimes think that why am I subject to punishment for something I am not aware. That's the same argument, slightly more sophisticated. I am being punished for something and I don't know what it was. So it is a similar argument. It is not dependent on our knowledge of it, the fact that we remember or we do not remember. The laws of nature do not consult us. Oh, what is your opinion? There is no opinion. It's a law. The law of nature, the fire will burn. It does not ask, oh, you're an innocent child, therefore I will not burn. It must burn. It's the law. It is not dependent on your awareness or lack of it. Therefore, it is important for us to become aware. Since it is a law, since it is inevitable, it behooves me, it is in my interest to become knowledgeable, to understand, to know this science, so that I may not be in that difficulty later on. Because there is a law. Now, we'll come back to this discussion. Now, Srila Prabhupada actually mentions this because when he was studying in Calcutta, Scottish Church's college, his professor said, who is the witness? See, these are all related questions to the same thing. That they're trying to prove that the laws of karma do not work. That everything happens only within this lifetime. There is no other lifetimes. So this professor's argument was, who was the witness? Because according to English law, if you have done a crime, there must be a witness. Somebody must say, I saw that. Srila Prabhupada is referring to this point that atheists want evidence for the resultant actions of past activity. They want this evidence. Whether it is that the body is different, whether it is that there is no witness. But they're atheists because they deny. They refuse to accept. But it is there. Prabhupada one time said in a class, He said, because you declare God is dead, he's not going to roll over and die. Just because you say he does not exist. There's a similar incident with Galileo. He was in Italy. He started to propagate the idea that the earth revolves around the sun and not the sun revolving around the earth. So they burned him on the fire and they asked him before burning if he had any last statement. So he said, "E pur si muove." It nonetheless moves. Now, interestingly, according to the Vedic idea, it is the sun that moves around the earth. It is actually the sun. But because he's burned, doesn't mean if it is what he's saying is the truth, it's going to change. It nonetheless. Nonetheless, despite our protest, despite our unwillingness to accept, the laws of karma are working everywhere, both for the believer and the non-believer. Nobody is being exempt. Oh, you do not believe, so different laws for you. So I was saying, it behooves us to understand these laws. We may not like them. They may not suit our idea. But if I am subject to them, nonetheless, it is in my interest to find out what they are and to use them to my advantage. This is intelligence. King Prachinabhari, he's raised this question now before his spiritual master, Narada Muni. It is what has come to his mind. So I want to concentrate a little bit on this relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. And how and what kind of questions the disciple asks his spiritual master. This is also pertinent, relevant to this discussion. Now, I just want to give a little preface. Srila Prabhupada did not encourage any and every type of question from his disciples. He did not. He would refuse and he would discourage certain kinds of questions. Certain type of questioning, he discouraged it. So let us discuss a little bit about that. What kind of questions are encouraged and what kind are discouraged? First of all, if somebody has doubts, he should ask his question. If a disciple, a student has doubts, he genuinely does not know, he is confused, he should ask it. Even if it is foolish, it should be asked. Because if one does not ask his spiritual master, who should he ask? He should ask him. But part of the answer may be a rebuke that you're a fool. That you're a rascal. Srila Prabhupada used these words, fool and rascal. Fool means ignorant. Rascal means jaan bujhke. You knew something and you purposely asked a question. You knew better, but you asked. You're a rascal, badmash. You know, you're trying to do some. So both things are discouraged. But we may be guilty of being a fool and a rascal. So we have to, if we have a doubt, we have to ask. However, as your relationship with the spiritual master goes on, it should not continue to be foolish. It should change. If your doubts are removed, you should not repeat your questions that are of the nature of doubt. Now, Krishna describes doubts as demons in the Bhagavad Gita. They are essentially our enemies. These doubts are our enemies. They are our problem. Why am I generally think I'm a very nice, saintly person. They don't come better than me. Why am I confused? Why is there question? We don't think it is to do with me. We think, no. I am raising a genuine, relevant point. Mostly, it is not relevant and it is not useful, our question. It is because we have a demon, we have an enemy that is making us disbelieve the injunctions of the Shastras. So it is not just the answer we need, we also need to understand that I have to overcome the enemy within, my doubts. We can't overcome them by suppressing them. In other words, I still believe in my doubt, but I will not vocalize it. I will not say it. So the first point is, you should say it. You should risk being rebuked and corrected that you're a fool and you're a rascal. This is the layout of spiritual life. Therefore, we have to be humble before the spiritual master. We have to be able to accept rebuke as a valid answer. We cannot become upset. Oh, he disrespected me. The relationship between spiritual master and disciple is not one of seeking mutual respect. It is one of being corrected. Now, the spiritual master also has some onus. There is some responsibility. He must not speak on his own behalf. He must correct somebody on behalf of the scriptures. Not because he wants to establish his superiority. In that case, he also has a demon within, the spiritual teacher. It's not, spiritual teacher is a person, Vyas Asan. He represents Vyas. He does not speak on his own behalf. He must have this discipline, this quality, this ability that he can speak on behalf of the scriptures, not on his own personal feelings. Very important. Now, going back to the student, the disciple, especially one who is listening to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. See, first of all, before we come to Krishna consciousness, we are habituated. We have certain habits from before. We have been to school. We have been to college. We were rewarded for our arrogance यह चटपटा प्रश्न करता है. We were patted on the back for being belligerent, challenging. Spiritual life, this is not acceptable. It's not conducive. Tad vidhi prani patena pariprashnena sevaya upadyakshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. So we have to change our habits. In one sense, there should be less and less questions. Less and less. The students should speak less and hear more. It's interesting, Srila Prabhupada in the beginning, he would encourage a lot of questions. But towards the end of his stay, more or less there was no questions. No question time. Everyone was expected to hear submissively, to understand, to try to understand. Shushrusho, to try very hard to listen. Because the need is for him to remove his doubts and not to manifest them, not to make a parade and take banners out on his challenges. He needs to understand, I need to defeat my doubts, not to propagate them, to advance them further and further. So Srila Prabhupada, towards the end, he definitely discouraged such behavior. To the point, he would say to his secretary, I do not want to speak to him. The person who came challenging his own disciple. One disciple forcibly came and made his challenges. Srila Prabhupada said, do what you like. Why are you here? Go. Because the nature of being before a spiritual master is not like this. It is very submissive. Now, submissive has an interesting synonym. And I'd like to do this exercise with you. Can any of you suggest what is a one-word synonym for submissive? What would be one other word that can replace the word submissive and have the same meaning, the same import? Obedience. First one, right. I was expecting maybe, but first one, right. Obedience. The synonym for submissive is obedience. It's to obey. This relationship of spiritual inquiry is based on obedience, which is sometimes called submissive questions, behavior, submissive behavior. It is with that attitude, with that mood, one has to take up spiritual inquiry. I am going to obey. I've come here to obey. I surrender. Tadvidhi pranipatena. I surrender. In that surrendered mood, I have some question. It may be a doubt. It may be foolish. But I'm willing to be corrected. That's the very important part of this relationship. Now, I took advantage of looking up one nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, which expresses this mood very nicely. And it leads us to the next point, which I hope to cover also in just 2 minutes, and hopefully there will be some questions afterwards. Tvam na sandarshito dhatra dustaram nistitirshatam kalim sattvaharam pumsam karnadhar ivarnavam. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all good qualities of a human being. So here the sages of Naimisharanya are saying to Suta Goswami that we accept you as the captain of the ship. We accept you as the person who has the last word. We are not challenging. We will obey you. The captain has absolute authority in the ship. His word is law. You have to obey. So the mood is to accept the statements of the spiritual master and not to try to maneuver him by your questions and your arguments. To understand who is actually behind the driving seat, it is not the student, it is the spiritual master. That should be the mood. Thank you very much for your patience. Are there any questions or comments? Any questions or doubts? You're welcome. This is not the spiritual master disciple. This is where I'm supposed to help you if you have any queries. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.